All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by Raekwon Gilbert. He's going to be talking with us about some of the top prospects and some of the key areas of concern for the Atlanta Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalFans.com, on Twitter at FalFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, I am joined by Raekwon Gilbert, a frequent guest of this podcast. He's formerly written content and focuses quite a bit on the draft for websites like Blocking Dirty and DBN Fanatics. We've had Raekwon on a couple of years in a row to talk draft, and he's always a good person to have on to sort of get an overview of sort of where the Falcons need to be focused on and maybe some of the top prospects and give us some sort of insight into how some of those guys will fit with the team. And that's what we'll be talking about today. So welcome back to the show, Raekwon.
Appreciate it, Aaron. Always good to come on and talk draft with you, man.
I appreciate that myself. All right. So Raekwon, let's jump right in. And, you know, a lot of debates going on about sort of where the Falcons need to be focusing at the top of this draft. Do they need to fix their offensive line? Do they need to get a pass rusher? Do they need to beef up their run defense? I'm curious sort of where you fall on that. Sort of what position in the ideal, perfect world would the Falcons sort of get a playmaker at the top of this draft to really sort of push their team, you know, or help the team the most?
We've seen where, you know, Greg Jarrett gets tagged with the franchise tag, and DeAndre Snott comes in and he steps into the role as a takeover is pretty much as the team primary one technique. And Jack Crawford came in, even though he's over the 30 line and is getting towards that age, I still think he has a few more years of being viable as a rotation guy. And Adrian Claiborne was just signed this week. So right now, I think, honestly, this is the view may be pushing a little towards defensive end, besides of Ed Oliver being at the top. I really think defensive end can be like a prime draft choice right now, because Vic Beasley, let's be honest, $12.8 million for this year is pretty steep for this year, and I don't think the Falcons or any other team in the NFL may pay a little bit more over that after he hits the open market. And Tad McKinley still has been progressing coming into it after this third year. Even with Stephen Means being the backup and showing more depth, I think Atlanta still has to add more time. It's kind of becoming like somewhere similar in a situation just like San Francisco has been. It's like where you build so much and try to build so much talent within the defensive line, you haven't kind of got it just yet. But to me right now, I think defensive end should be the primary, like, overall number one going into it, the overall position to get.
Okay. So staying on that defensive end spot, sort of who is the player that you're looking at that says, okay, defensive end, big pressing issue for the Falcons right now. This is the guy that they want. This is the guy that would basically make all my dreams come true at that position. Who is that guy for you?
Actually, I think Brian Burns is pretty much sits on top of that list of anybody. And when I say anybody, I honestly mean above all else needs. I think Brian Burns sits on top of them because I don't think, besides Bosa, I honestly and truly don't really have too much. There isn't too many pass rushers in the draft that honestly give you that immediate impact that a lot of guys want in their first couple of years, besides Bosa. So I think that you can kind of make the debate with Josh Allen, depending on the scheme, and maybe Montez Sweat if he start off good with his first year. But I really think Brian Burns out of Florida State, even though some has called him a little undersized, but he came in to the combine weighed up a little bit. I think over 10 pounds than what he was at Florida State, and he kind of showed off. He showed out there and showed out, came in with the numbers, even with the added weight. So I think he sits on top of the list over anybody for the Falcons right now.
And I'm curious, sort of on Burns, sort of what are the things that sort of stand out to you that why you put Burns sort of at the top of the list?
Over the years, I've like not just faded away from the explosive first step, because, you know, that's kind of the hallmark for any great pass rusher. Besides pass rush moves, it has to be this first step. He has to be able to get off the ball lines, and that's one thing that Burns is, for even for this size, is 6'5", I believe he's around like 242, 244. I think he's really has, and it's kind of hard to say, I think for him to turn the corner for him is just so easy. His flexibility, just to his lower body tilt and ankle, and just get around the corners against tackles and pass rushes, and even defending against the run. You see him plenty of times. I think it was against Wake Forest. A lot of times where he was, a lot of time we had to slash inside through gaps, and he had to make sudden movement to get off. And I think honestly, Burns could be one of the top guys to come out, just simply because I think he's a little more of a array of counters, and I think in his pass rush moves, I think he doesn't just ends off with just one. He's always working to finish off at the end with something. So I think that's something that we kind of see more besides people like Vic Beasley in the past, who I wouldn't say coming out of Clemson that he was primarily a speed rusher, because he did have somewhat an array of pass rush moves. But I don't think comparing him to Burns, I don't think it's really close.
I want to get your thoughts on some of the other top edges in this class in the event that Brian Burns is not there at pick 14. But before we get there, I do want to let people know that they should be checking out the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast or the Draft Dude Podcast. Both of them part of the Locked On Podcast Network, both of them giving you daily draft-related content. You can find them on whatever podcast platform that you prefer, including the new Himalaya app. Find that at your app store, where you can now download that and then download Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes Podcast, your team every day. So, Raekwon, we're talking about some of the top edges in this class. You've talked some of the reasons why you think Brian Burns sort of stands out, and if available, presumably should be the Falcons' sort of number one choice at that spot. Do you feel like after Burns, is there a significant drop-off to the next guy, or is it just sort of a small leap and the Falcons would be more than happy to, you know, take whether it's a Montez Sweat or Rashawn Gary or somebody else off the board with their first overall pick?
Honestly, I think Rashawn Gary and Montez Sweat honestly may be above the three. I honestly think he may be the one that a lot of people look for us most, because after his amazing combine and you put up his tape against the others, he has a consideration to be pushing the top 10, even the top 5 if you really ask. But I think after that, Burns, you know, it kind of get a little murky in between, because you have players like Chazen Winovich from Michigan, and me, honestly, one of my personal favorites, Christian Miller from Alabama, even though I don't really try to put too much on defensive ends and edge rushers coming out of Alabama, but Christian Miller, to me, is one of those guys that I feel like he's a little more balanced and kind of fits in what Atlanta wants to do. You look at him at 6'3", 247. I think even at that size, it's kind of weird, honestly, to say that he's a little more of a better run defender than he is a pass rusher, even though, because his bend to me is, he can come in from a wider arc, but his bend to me is, it takes a little less than others. But honestly, I just feel like Miller, to me, just coming off the edge, and his game against Alabama, you've seen it multiple times. You know, he made his impact against the run, defending out there. So I think that's another guy a lot of people should keep eye on. I know you've recently been pushing for another Sam linebacker in the case of Devondre Campbell leaves out. I think one of the most underrated guys to come out, nobody's really talked about, Jamal Davis out of Akron. He's another pass rusher. I think he was he transferred out of Pitt a couple of years ago, and he's been at Akron probably the past 2 years, and he's been pretty much out wonderful in the hybrid role. He's been out there a little bit. I think his game against South Carolina, and when he went against Dennis Daly, he had a few mishaps and a few bad plays here and there. I feel like his weight at 230-ish, maybe a little undersized, especially when you go get somebody like Dennis Daly, who's coming out of South Carolina, a little bit over the 320 line, but he's another one I feel like that can step in and be a good one in the special teams, and hopefully down the road maybe he can grab onto the role as Sam linebacker.
Now, it sounds like you sound like you kind of like the depth of this edge class. I know from looking at various rankings and various mock drafts and projections and all these sort of things, it does seem like, at least from my perspective, and I'm curious if you agree, that in comparison to, say, positions like D-tackle and offensive line and offensive tackle, that the edge group is a little thinner, where it's a little top-heavy, and then after that you sort of get into guys that aren't necessarily going to be known for being big-time pass rushers in the NFL and may sort of be more of those quote-unquote every-down players, more in the sort of the Brooks Reed, Derek Shelby mold, at least as far as their potential usage in Atlanta. Would you agree with that assessment?
Honestly, because every year it's kind of hard to tell who's really, as from a talent standpoint, as of right now, I would say that the top end, maybe going towards mid-second round, end of second round, it's going to be kind of hard. I feel like right then that's where your scout is going to take the most. Who what are you going looking at the most? Because at that moment, I don't really think a lot of guys going to get excited about people like DeAndre Walker from Georgia, Wyatt Ray from Boston College, and Joe Jackson from Miami. Those guys are really talented, but at the same time, they give the guys, give a lot of teams a lot of questions to ask about certain things. Just like Joe Jackson, he put on a lot of weight, and I know people were kind of disappointed when he came in and tested the way he did. Wyatt Ray, being from the other side of Zach Allen out of Boston mm-hmm. College, he was another guy that kind of benefited from dominating. I think it was two games as Wake Forest and another game. I think he had like 3.5 sacks in both of those games and kind of like boosted up his stat line. And DeAndre Walker, another one, who I wouldn't quite peg as a disappointment or someone I feel like is overrated, but I just don't feel like the alignment for what his value and what a lot of people put in it just doesn't match. So I wouldn't necessarily say that this edge isn't talented after that round, but right, it's kind of get tricky on who you pick and what specific role you have for them once you get them there.
So I want to switch gears a little bit and look at maybe some of the other players on the interior in this class. And from what it sounded like earlier in our conversation, it sounded like you sort of look at Ed Oliver, at the top of this draft as the sort of much hyped and worthy of the hype that he has gotten in Houston these last couple of years. Is that fair?
I think that's more than say the fair. I think Ed Oliver's, he's pretty much built the legend of himself with his, what he's been able to do on the field and off the field. Like, I've heard Kevin from Soccerholics talk over and say how, you know, a lot of this year it was a little different for a lot of people who was watching him because he had to play as a nose tackle. And it kind of a little bit of dip of the numbers, but it was the same. It was the same guy out there, the same guy who was boosting his range, even when he had a dispute with his coach. I feel like Ed Oliver is pretty much, he's kind of ran the line, just like how a little bit how like Zion Williamson is with Duke. You know, after a while, you know, he kind of run the line and is ready to go. So I just feel like right now he's still in the, even with the dispute with his size, I feel like Ed Oliver is still top 15. But I don't really place him over anybody like Burns or Juwan Taylor just yet or as much, just because of how much of the need that probably the Falcons would look at.
Well, since you brought him up, let's talk about Juwan Taylor. What do you think about him?
He's a dancing bear. I think that was like the first thing I wrote about him after watching this game against Kentucky. He's really big. I mean, he's 6'5". I think he's really along the line of 320-ish or 325. Really big dude of light on his feet, man. And, I mean, it's really hard to tell him, look around him, a guy like that and come around the edge. And I think he's just a guy that's really patient. He doesn't get too excited, always has a great anchor dealing with different guys. He's versatile. Honestly, I feel like from left to right tackle or maybe even guard, I feel like he can be placed in immediately and start. But I feel like Juwan Taylor, maybe not the others. I know others feel that Cody Ford out of Oklahoma was another one. He tested really good to be at 3. I think he was at 340. He tested really good for his size. And Jonah Williams had pretty much an average day for his workout. But he's another one. I feel like those three guys right there are kind of like the top three epitome of what everybody wants at tackle. But Juwan Taylor, to me, fits the bill of everything you want as far as athletics, pedigree, experience on the field, and being or going against actually talented guys. You know, it's okay to see some of these guys have good techniques and get some of the weaker defensive linemen in the draft, but when you're in the SEC, it's a little harder to hide that. It's a little harder to hide a weak offensive lineman in the SEC. So I think, to me, Taylor just above the average, above all of them.
Okay. We got more to talk about with Raekwon, but I do want to let you guys know that you guys should be checking out the Locked On NFL podcast hosted by Matt Williamson. Every day, Matt has great guests, great content on that show. Find it on whatever podcast platform you prefer, including the Himalaya app. Your team every day. So, Raekwon, you talked about Juwan Taylor. We talked a little bit about Ed Oliver. Are there any other players at those positions, D tackle, offensive line that you really like, that you're really intrigued by, that you're sort of, you know, in your back pocket being like, if the Falcons get this guy, he's going to be a really good player?
One of the reasons why I honestly want the Falcons to trade up, and honestly, if they do trade up, I don't, if Ed Oliver's a pick, nobody, I can't be mad at it. There's no reason to be mad at it, but I honestly feel like Juwan Taylor and Brian Burns are starting to become more and more those two guys are what they're starting to peg as the top two guys of what they want. But if after you get somebody like Burns or like Taylor, I think it's easy and perfect to find somebody like Kalen Saunders out of Western Illinois in the third round, the fourth round, if he falls off that way. He's another one who I wrote Dancing Bear beside him again. He kind of bursted out. I think he tested at six. He came around around like 6'1", 322, and ran in his 40 around like a little bit. I think on the 5 seconds, he had it like a 1.73 10 split. But he's another guy that if you watch film on automatically, in his North Dakota State game was just a lot of people probably won't put it up with like Jerry Tillery with Stanford and others around in the draft, but that game against North Dakota State was one of the best games you'll probably see from a defensive tackle. So I think he's another one that he got like built-in leverage, a little short stature, kind of like DeAndre Snop, but a little more athletic on the side. I think he had around like 18 sacks and 34 and a half tackles for loss in his 4 years there. So he's another one I feel like people may not have heard of him before, but he's a name that you need to know coming up to the draft.
You know, we've talked quite a bit about the players in the trenches. And I'm curious sort of what other areas of the Falcons roster, you know, maybe some of the skill positions on either side of the ball that you sort of are hoping that the Falcons can sort of address in this year's draft and maybe some players at those spots that you really like.
Each time I try to build me up a mock draft, I've consistently found myself putting in Duke Shelley from Kansas State. He's a corner out of Kansas State. That's another guy who I really enjoy. They brought him in for a top 30 visit, I believe, again.
Yeah.
Duke Shelley, I think in the day three, he's one of those guys. I've seen him reports of them working out Isaiah Johnson and taking in interest in Lonnie Johnson Jr. from Kentucky State. But Duke Shelley's another guy. He's a click and close guy. He's a little short on the 5'9", maybe 180-ish pounds, maybe 190 once he gets in the league. But click and close guy. I mean, he's got a lot of ball production coming out. I think he about around like 40 ball disruption if you include passes, pass deflections, and interceptions. But that's a guy that right there to me. I mean, he kind of feels. If you watch me, he's one of those molds like a Brian Poole or a Ricardo Allen who can fit and be a little versatile between safety and nickel corner. And he's worked outside corner for the past 2 years as a starter. So I mean, I think he's been a starter since his freshman year. But he's really been one of those guys I kind of see in the day three that people take a look at and be like, okay, well, I'm comfortable with taking him even with the size dispute.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was last year's draft where the Falcons were interested in David Reed, the corner from Kansas State. So I imagine they probably saw Duke Shelley when they were scouting David Reed and they're like, hey, this other corner that they have is pretty good or something like that. So I'm curious sort of, looking at this draft, do you feel like this is a draft where, you know, there's a lot of talk about sort of like, you know, is Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, are they on the hot seat? Do you feel like this is a draft where the Falcons need to come out of this and get, you know, sort of four or five good players like they did a couple of years ago in that 2016 draft? Or is this a draft where they just need to sort of get one or two like truly impact players, which seems to be sort of the guiding principle behind the idea of trading up and sort of maximizing sort of in one or two players that can really sort of help the team immediately. So where do you fall sort of in terms of what do you want to get out of this draft?
Hot seat isn't necessarily what I would say for Dimitroff and Quinn, but right now I think just how like the 2015 class was in terms of pretty much setting the tone at a couple of positions and finding your stable starters for the next 3-4 years. Until they hit free agency again, I feel like this draft right now is starting the next wave of players who's going to come through Atlanta. Because honestly, there's a lot of guys to pay, and I feel like fans kind of get a little tunnel vision when they see the Falcons not making a lot of moves or being kind of slow to figure out what they're doing in free agency. But the intel that the team has itself, I think it's going to hurt the bank a lot for Atlanta. So I feel like over these next two drafts that Atlanta has, they have to hit at least to meet this draft, at least four starters. And maybe in the next trade off of five. I mean, they got to get something coming in going because there's a lot of positions over the like defensive end and linebacker and the offensive line where age is coming off and it's starting to go up. You know, Alex Max isn't getting any younger. We still have DeAndre Campbell coming up for a contract, Deion Jones. I think those are kind of the guys that Atlanta's going to put a lot of focus into. Also, you know, we still have to update Julio's contract. So it's kind of it's going to be a little weird. A little out of pocket to see how Atlanta does over the next couple of weeks to see how they move their salary cap. But as far as pushing in and bringing the next wave of players, this draft and also 2020 has to be because the faces along the rosters are going to change drastically. And whether we like it or not, they're going to change. So we have to be able to prepare and see what's out there next.
Okay. Raekwon, I appreciate you coming on, chatting with me, talking draft. I'm curious to, after the draft, to sort of get your assessment on sort of what you liked and maybe what you didn't like about the picks when they eventually do come in 2 weeks. But, you know, go ahead, plug your Twitter, and if people want to talk draft with you, where they can hit you up.
Hey, if for all guys trying to follow and want to talk anything about football, follow me on Twitter at RxGilbert97. That's, again, RxGilbert97. I'm up in all discussions of anything sport. You know, that's all in all.
Now, you know, I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but I understand you're trying to start up a podcast in the future?
Yeah. I'm starting up a little something that's specifically a little more different from most podcasts and things, but I'm starting something with just Falcons fans, Atlanta fans, period, you know, for the Hawks, for the Falcons, for the Braves, for the Atlanta United. I'm kind of getting together a couple of guys, and we're starting our own podcast, and I don't want to put out too many things or talk too soon, but around this time, Nick, when the season starts for the 2019 season for a lot of the other teams, it's going to be fun to see how everyone puts it together, but that's something to watch out for in the near future.
Well, you know, one of the jokes I always have is everybody that I have as a guest on this podcast winds up doing their own podcast, I guess, because they think they can do it better than me. So maybe they can. So good luck to you, Raekwon, with that venture. And yeah, man, I look forward to talking with you in maybe a couple of weeks to sort of get your assessment on what the Falcons did or did not do well in this draft. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts with me today.
All right, man. I always appreciate you bringing me on, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, man. You too.
There you guys have it. Raekwon giving us his thoughts. You know, I always like having Raekwon on because he always has – there's always a couple players that I haven't really done any research on because I generally tend to focus mostly on the all-star game prospects when I do my sort of a draft evaluation just because generally speaking, the Falcons tend to draft, you know, all-star game prospects and think like – out of the seniors they've drafted under Dan Quinn, the 18 seniors that they've drafted, like 14 of them have been all-star game prospects. I think Tack, Vic, Olakun, and Schweitzer are the only exceptions to that. And so I tend to focus mostly on the all-star games. And obviously, Raekwon mentioned a couple of guys that were in the all-star games that I'll have to check out because I haven't checked them out quite yet. But I was, you know, getting more complex sort of scope of this draft class, I think, is always good to have, and I always appreciate Raekwon for providing that on the show. So if you guys want to provide your own feedback to me, you can do so on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook Locked On Falcons. The email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com, and you can leave a comment at falcons.com where the podcast is posted daily. We should be back tomorrow. Yeah. But send in any questions you have. I don't know if we're going to do a Q&A or I'll have something else to talk about on tomorrow's episode. I'll try to not do a Q&A. We'll save the Q&A for maybe Monday. So send in your questions this weekend and we'll get those answered potentially on Monday. And if we don't get them answered on Monday, if I can get a guest, then we'll push that Q&A to, you know, further in the week. But again, that gives you guys more time to send in your questions as well. So we'll have a full slate of mailbag questions eventually when we do have that mailbag episode. So there you have it, guys. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.